This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Coming at you here from America Tonight headquarters. So check this out. A couple of things have happened, including the fact that one of Judge Moore's staffers, I guess, confronted a cameraman at an outside rally. So this has gotten really crazy. A man wearing Roy Moore stickers. So follow the story, if you will. He was wearing those stickers, physically attacked a camera guy attempting to film Moore's arrival outside a campaign rally, I guess a few minutes into a broadcast in the early evening in Alabama. Another man with Moore stickers, they say, verbally assaulted a second cameraman. So now this is just, you know, become insane. And is it a setup? I mean, who knows? This is outside a rally for the Alabama Republican Senate candidate on Monday night. Tensions between Moore and the media, of course, have risen since the Washington Post blew this whole thing open. They published the report earlier in the month that with the allegations that Moore had a sexual encounter with a 14-year-old girl when he was 32. So there's been a lot of pressure for him to step aside, and now there's all this coverage. You know, it's up to the people of Alabama. What the people of Alabama decides is what's going to happen, and to me, it's in their hands. They either decide they're going to go with him or they're not going to go with him, period. The prince is going to marry, and a lot of people are talking about it, so I have to stick it in again right at the top. I know, you're rolling your eyes, aren't you? I see you. I see you out there. But the most eligible bachelor that you can imagine, 33-year-old Prince Harry, said he was thrilled to be marrying his American girlfriend, Meghan Markle, early next year. So all the confirmations came from the palace that, yes, Queen Elizabeth II, Harry's grandmother, led the chorus of approval for the couple, who the palace said got engaged in London in a secret engagement earlier this month. So all of the speculation that the bad boy of the House of Windsor, who was popular, then not popular, etc., had been dating Markle since last summer, but they made their first public appearance only in September. Bottom line is, game on. He doesn't care. They're getting married. Ta-da. Boom. End of story. Although it's interesting, she's an American and a divorcee, so, you know, Wallace Simpson, people keep bringing that story up at different times, my friends. That was in the 30s, if you care. All right, in the meantime, how about this? Bally has this, and I'm kind of popcorning all over the place. Bally's, one of their volcanoes, a Gung volcano, had its first major volcanic eruption since 1963. So Indonesian and the regional authorities in that area have been warning about flights around Bali's Mount Agung over the weekend. They were doing that. The volcanic eruptions sent a plume of ash and steam way up into the air, and so, you know, that's dangerous, obviously, for flights, and there are a lot of flights that go in and out of there, so they were trying to steer flights away from it. Personally, I saw the pictures of it. This is radio. It was pretty darn cool to look at. And, you know, they evacuated people in the evacuation areas. They canceled flights out of Bali's main airport because they were afraid of the ash, damaging plane engines. Travelers with Virgin Australia, Qantas, KLM, Jetstar had to check to see if their flight was affected. Oh, darn, I can't go back to work. A volcano erupted in Bali, and I have to stay here. Oh, drats. That'd be rough, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd be rough. So, anyway, the plume was pretty darn cool looking. As somebody who flew over the Big Island and saw a little bit of a volcanic eruption, it would be on my bucket list. I think it is very, very cool. Cyber Monday. How did you do on Cyber Monday? They were saying Cyber Monday it was going to be like $6 billion was going to come, you know, was going to be raked in altogether, and Amazon was going to get a big chunk of that. And I can imagine that, you know, maybe even as you're listening to my voice, you are thinking of ordering something. So, yes, Cyber Monday is huge. We know that. We've talked about it. We talked about it on our last show. I think the number is staggering, that's for sure. But people want to order that way. They don't have time. They don't want to go to brick-and-mortar stores. It's really strange when you go to – I was in Macy's earlier this evening even. It's a store I like. I mean, you know, it seems like they always have sales, probably because nobody's in the stores, at least the ones that I've gone into. And anyway, in all seriousness, it's very strange. And I think the reason is because of Cyber Monday. I think people order online, you know, all the time. And if you know the sizes or if you can send them back, that's exactly what happens. All right, as somebody who just came back from the great state of Florida, this is so frightening to me. I was reading about this today, not the serial killer thing. Yeah, that was happening. But how about this manhunt for a gunman who opened fire on a major highway in Florida? A suspect arrested. They're investigating it as part of this road rage deal, which, of course, is a problem in the U.S. I mean, you know, how often do – it's not a fluke. It's not a joke. It was on the Florida Turnpike, and there were people who had bullet holes on the sides of their car. Now, if you had bullet holes on the sides of your car but you weren't killed, thank goodness. But, boy, how frightening is that? You know, it's just going to be some road rage thing, and that's exactly what happened. The police arrested an Orlando man, and it was a road rage thing. It makes you think about when people get cut off, or, you know, what's really going on inside their head. And it seemed like it was a bigger problem before, but apparently it still is a very, very big problem. All right, I'm going to jump overseas for a second. How about this? South Korea is reportedly using loudspeakers along its borders. I was looking into this today, with North Korea, to broadcast updates on a defecting soldier's dramatic escape into the South. And they had these really, I mean, they are blaring these updates just in your face, Kim Jong-un. And good for the, you know, good for the defector that he was able to get out of South Korea, and he dashed across the border. And this happened about a week and a half ago. 24 years old, and they've only identified him by his surname of O. That's what they're calling him. And he had organ damage, I guess, from 5 gunshot wounds, but he's been treated for a couple of different things. But he escaped. And during the broadcast, the South made note of the pre-existing health conditions while criticizing the North, which they're struggling to provide the health care for the people there. And the loudspeaker broadcast was kind of what they used to call psychological warfare, because the North is trying to keep outside information from trickling in. And Pyongyang has not addressed at all the soldier's defection, but he got away. Good for him. And I saw the footage of that, and that is crazy. I mean, he ran. Boom, boom. Parked the Jeep, jumped out, and escaped. That's it. Just ran for it and was getting shot, but made it. And that's got to be a rare sight to see, that's for sure. All right, stay with us. Got to step aside for a second, and we're back with more in just a sec.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
So imagine this, you're a teenager, not even a teenager, really, you're a pre-teenager, and we see this now when we talk about bullying, and you're just getting, bashed, dealing with what life throws at you in that direction. You're a Southern girl, you're dealing with rape, you've been raped, you're dealing with abortions, you have a rebellious side to you, of course you do, and what happens to your life? How does that spiral? What direction do you go into? And naturally, you move to New York City. Imagine that. You move to New York City. You find yourself homeless. You're addicted to heroin. You're prostituting yourself out because you don't know what else to do. The circumstances are so bleak. Then some people step in and really help you and turn your life around. And it includes two New York City police officers. So our next guest is Dana Brown. Her book is called Desperate for a Fix. If you only knew how one good decision could change your life. Hey, Dana, thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate. I'm excited about talking with you today.
So let's talk about where you grew up and what happened as a child that ultimately led you to New York City.
Well, I grew up in North Carolina, a small town. Back in the 80s, it was a small town, Wilmington, North Carolina. And as a lot of children are dealing with today, bullying was rampant. Now, it was not nearly as bad as it is today, but I was bullied for various reasons. And so my self-esteem kind of got knocked around pretty much every day. So as a result of that, I would navigate myself and draw myself closer to people who were like me, who just wanted to fit in. And so that turned out to be people who wanted to numb their feelings, and so over-the-counter speed and alcohol we would steal from our homes became a daily thing at school, in middle school. And so that was kind of how I found out that I could get rid of these negative feelings by using alcohol or some form of drug to just kind of help me feel better, make it through the day. And as a result of the low self-esteem, I put myself in positions that weren't the healthiest, which wound up in being raped. And so that further kind of dogged my self-esteem. So along the way, I think that was the main issue, was my self-esteem was low. It was tanked. And so it resulted in making a whole lot of bad decisions.
Wow. So you make these bad decisions. You end up in, of all places, New York City, especially when you're talking about the 80s and early 90s, what life was like there. And what happened when you make that transition from this small town into this big city?
Well, one of the ways I like to put it is I moved to New York City. New York City chewed me up and spit me out. So it's not a funny situation, but I have to have humor about it. I can't look back and be, you know, I had this whole sad picture. I know the outcome. The outcome's great. Here I am. I'm living a brand new life. But back then it was tough. Yeah, I moved to New York, and you know, only found harder drugs after a few years. Started in the partying scene and found harder drugs, and I feel like even today it's even worse for the kids that are growing up, and so much more readily available to get heroin and cocaine and really whatever you want. So it became like a warm blanket. Heroin was like a warm blanket. It protected me. It kept me safe. It kept me from caring how other people viewed me or how I viewed myself. So yeah, it was a really quick downward spiral.
So talk about who helped you out. I mentioned the police officers, and of course then family comes through. Tell me how you got out of this spiral.
Well, thankfully I had a family that was just relentless. My parents would drive up to New York and kind of sit out on the sidewalks where they knew the area that I was in. Now, this was after I had become homeless and was really fully into my addiction. And they would wait, just sit on the sidewalk, ask people, have you seen Dana, and show them pictures. And they were relentless, and they contacted the precinct where my haunt was, where I would roam around, and thank God they were connected with Bill Burns and Bill Foley, who just had a heart for them and then had a heart for me. And they made it their mission to get me back home where I was supposed to be.
I love that. So are you still in touch with the two police officers?
I am. My Bill Burns is Uncle Billy to my kids. We adopted three children. I know. We adopted three kids, my husband and I. This is years later, of course. And yeah, so Bill Burns is Uncle Billy, and I just spoke with Bill Foley 3 weeks ago for the first time since 1998. So I was a blubbering mess talking to him, just so grateful for his outreach to me. And now he's Uncle Billy, too. So my kids have two new Uncle Billies. They haven't met Bill Foley yet, but his daughter lives about 30 minutes from us, so a reunion is coming soon.
I love it. What do you think people can learn from your experience, people that are listening to you and I speak right now?
I think that the one thing I would love for people to learn, and I hope that it comes across in the book, is that when you see a person who's addicted, sometimes our initial reaction is, you know, get over it, move on, get yourself together, make a decision. But, you know, it's not that hard. It wasn't that hard. I mean, it wasn't that easy to be able to become an addict. You don't just wake up and say, you know what, I think I'll be a junkie today. It's a long process to get to that point, and everyone's process could be different. It could be just like mine, but there is a process. There's a journey, and there's pain, and there's circumstances. And I think that once we realize that that's the case, people become more endearing to us, and then we become more compassionate towards them. So that's the lesson I think I would love for people to learn. And also that people people can come out of it. It takes time, it takes work, it takes help, but there is hope. And don't give up on your loved ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about in the book, well, one of the tagline is, if you only knew how one good decision, what was your good decision?
Oh, my good decision was to follow my parents' advice. I can't give away the whole story.
There you go. But you can tease us with it. There you go. So, your parents had some advice for you that turned things around.
Yeah, they did. And they also had a soft place for me to land. As long as I was doing right, they were going to help me. And that was imperative. If I was doing wrong, they weren't helping me anymore. And as soon as I made decisions to do right, they were there for me. And you know, people, some people on the streets don't have family, but there is someone who can be a soft place for you to land. I'm actually become very good friends with a young girl who's just now coming out of the same situation that I was in, and a family friend became her soft place to land. And so with them, and hopefully with my help with her, she'll be able to get on this same path, and her life can get turned around too.
Yeah, tell everyone, Dana, what you do now.
Well, now I am a stay-at-home mom of three adopted children, which
Wow.
you'll read about in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm married. I am an author. And I speak at, well, really anywhere anybody wants me to go. I'll go and I'll talk to people all day long. I want to help others who find themselves in the hopeless situation that I was in. I want to help them see that there is hope. So I speak, and I also have a you would call it a mission. I want to get my book into rehabs and prisons. Junkies on the streets, they don't buy books. But the book is to help them. So the way that I see best to get it to them is to have it available for them to read in rehabs and prisons. So on my website at desperateforafix.com, there's a tab that says donate, and you can donate a book, which I will ship or deliver to a prison or rehab program in your area. You can choose the program you want it to go to, and I'll ship it there. But you can get that book for $10. You can buy your own book for $15.
All right. I love it. So Desperate for a Fix, if you only knew how one good decision could change your life. And you can get that by going to Amazon, obviously, and, as you mentioned, going to your website, too.
Right.
And was it hard to pull the book together?
Well, it took quite a few years, about 12 to be exact.
Wow, but you got it out. You did it. You got it out of your head, and you got it out there, right?
I got it out. Yeah, I thought it was finished in 2010, but little did I know there were several chapters that weren't there yet, and those chapters are named Alyssa, Lance, and Jaden, my three children.
I love it. Awesome. Dana Brown, thanks. It's been a delight talking to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-7740. That's 800-610-7740. 800-610-7740.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, JP Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
There's a guy named Dr. Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and a naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why is this country spending more money on healthcare by far and ranking 50th in health and longevity worldwide? Doc believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attaining optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic pharmaceutical drugs that lead to side effects that require more expensive and toxic pharmaceutical drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies to our own destruction, no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our health and healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare, and I've joined forces with him to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit brightsideben.com and listen to Doc Wallach's deadly recipe lectures. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join our Brightside Ben team. Go to brightsideben.com. That's www.brightsideben.com.
To welcome to the show Jimmy Mosley. He's written a book called From the Outhouse to the White House. I love that title because it's so provocative. It really kind of pulls you in and makes you wonder, what's that about? And he's led such an interesting life. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me on America Tonight, Kate.
You know, here's the thing. You and I were talking about this a little bit off the air, and I certainly read about your background, and in reading the book, really got a great sense of who you are and what matters to you in your life. And you grew up in a what I call a pea shooter town, but one with a real soul, right? Tell us about your early beginnings.
Well, I started working at a very early age in life. My mom was a great influence. And, you know, just my story, as the way I grew up on that plantation in southern Mississippi, and I felt like my story was noteworthy and it just needed to be told. My name is Jimmy Mosley. I'm a retired Army veteran as well as a retired educator. My second career was a JROTC instructor at the high school level, and I had the privilege of working with kids another 20 years after my first 20 years in the military. And right now, I'm pretty active in my church ministry.
You know, here's what's interesting. As far as what the book is concerned, as you said, you thought you needed to get it out there. Explain that. What made you write the book?
I felt that as an educator, I had a connection with my students. I found that over 60% of my students assigned to my ROTC came from a single-parent household. And that was the connection that I had with them. The students were more interested in a relationship than learning classroom subject material. They wanted to know how Army life were, but more about how I had arrived to this stage of my life. And it was a good icebreaker, and it's always a good icebreaker for educators to give the students the opportunity to introduce themselves to the class, but they wanted to know about me. It appeared that my life was something new to them. The students would complete their class assignments in record time just to hear more about my plantation stories. And I had a coworker say to me, he said, "Man, these kids really enjoy hearing about your life." He said, "You need to document some of these stories." And that's what started tugging on me a little bit. And I ran out of excuses. I was just simply out of excuses. And I sat down and said, "Look, got to do this. I feel that the Lord has put it on my heart. So I got to make it happen."
So you've got to tell us some of these plantation stories. What are some of the stories that you've told and that you tell in the book that you think really resonate with people?
Well, I introduced my readers to extreme poverty. From outhouse to White House, my life actually started on a little shotgun house right outside of Itabena, Mississippi. And that's out there where Mississippi Valley State University is located, in case people didn't know. But in a shotgun house, was like you look right through the front door and you look straight through the back. This house did not have indoor plumbing. So we had an outhouse way out back. And something as simple as toilet paper that we take for granted today. But we had Sears and Roebuck catalog back then, and that was kind of interesting. And I explain a little bit more of that in my book. But there were extreme poverty. There was a lot of racism. A lot of the plantation girls, even my sisters and brothers, you know, for a long time I held some resentment there because I felt like I could have stepped up and did more in terms of protecting them during times of abuse. So that was some pretty hard times there. But my single parent mom, I explained how she used that wisdom that was given to her from God and was able to keep our family together, you know, and I believe that as a people, we can take hate and replace it with faith and overcome those barriers.
Yeah. Do you feel that that's what got you through the hard beginnings and what you learned from your mom and your faith?
Yeah, I feel like it was my faith and those are values that she implanted in me as a child. Whether she knew it or not, I was learning from those experiences. Even when it would rain in the little shotgun house, she would have us sit down on a little bench, cover up with a blanket, and she said, "Don't talk when it's raining because God is at work." And, you know, it was like, okay. And even as an adult today, I find myself when it's raining and I'm thinking about that and I'm saying, well, you know, God is doing his work now. So, you know, I have to really respect that. And, you know, my drill sergeant was the first real man I'm talking about. I wanted to become like this man. And I believe I became this man. And that became more real to me when I graduated from drill sergeant school. Well, first of all, I latched on to Drill Sergeant Wilder, and I started mimicking him. I started imitating him. I started singing like him. I started running like him. And I noticed how his uniform always looked so sharp. And he was the first, I would say, real man that I kind of just latched on to. And I think I mimicked him throughout my military career. And as I went through drill sergeant school, I had 92 of 93 votes. And it was because I had latched on to this guy and just wanted to be a drill sergeant. And I put my drill sergeant hat on, and I was the first to walk across the stage, distinguished honor graduate, got 92 out of 93 votes. And then I said, well, somebody didn't vote for me. And then I realized I didn't vote for myself. So, yes, I feel like God put my mom and put Drill Sergeant Wilder right there to help me out. That way I never use an excuse of not having a parent. And I tell my kids, it's a time out for excuses. Let's not use excuses. Let's go ahead and pursue our dreams and our goals. And I just kind of want to be an encouragement. I believe the stories that I have in Outhouse White House is going to be a great encouragement to a lot of single parent mothers and to a people, because as a people, we're going to have to get it together.
Oh, I so agree with that. And what you just said there, that's what I call a tweetable moment about just stop the blaming. And does it seem like people are, to you, are looking for those excuses, are looking to whine and not just do what you can simply do by embracing life?
Hey, I've seen it throughout the military 20 years, and I've seen it as a 20-year educator, and I continuously see it today. Excuses, excuses, excuses. And if I can just persuade one reader to just never give up on that dream or that goal, and just know that God's always going to put somebody, he's got a ram in the bush, always a ram in the bush. You can look around and, you know, he's always got someone there that's going to kind of help you get over that next hurdle. But just if I can get one reader to just not give up on pursuing that dream or the goal, no matter how large, and you can look at my story as I came from an 8-year-old kid out on the plantation chopping cotton, no shoes, making the same amount of money as my mom. And he took me from that outhouse and led me all the way into becoming the NCOIC of Joint Service Operations at the White House and performing throughout the nation's capital in front of President Ronald Reagan and a few other presidents. And he took me there. And even though there were not many African-American men there, and there was a lot of racism and obscene phone calls, and I'm going to have to change my telephone number 4 or 5 times a month just to keep the obscene phone calls from going on all night. But God always pulled me through, and I am so grateful today, and I have no resentment for my life, and I just kind of want to give back to this great country.
Wow. What was that like, the White House experience? You described some of it there. Did you ever think you would end up in the position that you ended up in, where you would be in such high regard, really, to be all the way from, like you say, from the outhouse to the White House?
I had no idea. I do know that as a soldier, I wanted to be sharp. I just wanted to wake up early in the morning and just start cleaning the bathrooms and stuff. And even as a private, you know, they would call me out of formation to sing to the rest of the group. And I was mimicking Drill Sergeant Wilder, and it just took me all the way to the top. You know, I was an Army First Sergeant. It just got me to the top real quick. But I had no idea that, you know, it really wasn't work. I'm thinking it was like service, because I'm saying, whoa, man, why would a person want to give up something like this? It was a dream come true for me, joining the military. Man, I just know, you know, it was a God thing. But ending up at the White House is a mystery to me. I know I was overseas, and a recruiting team came by, and they pulled a few guys out. I was going up for the Sergeant Morales Club, you know, good soldiers. And I got interviewed, and I got a letter saying I was accepted to the Old Guard, the 3rd U.S. Infantry Station in Fort Myer, Virginia. And I got selected. But when I got there and I seen, looked around, I didn't see anybody that looked like me. I was like, whoa, man. Okay. So I just started training, and I said, I'm going to be the best soldier that I can be, and I'm going to do this. And I became part of the Presidential Honor Guard and Congressional Escort. So I just started doing things, and I kind of enjoyed going out, you know, doing ceremonies at the White House, and, you know, the Army being the senior service. So you would always be in position over to the right. And then when I became the leader, you know, I got to march all the different units on the White House lawn as NCOIC, our service operations at the White House. I was pretty good at that. So drill sergeant school was, man, it was like easy. I took all the guys yelling. Well, let's go outside under the street lights at night, and I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to talk you through it. And I was so tied up in helping the other guys that was having problems, it got to the point where everybody just kind of recognized me as distinguished honor graduate. And I know that was a God. It had to be a God thing. There's no way I could have did this without God. So I am just so grateful. Some people say, you know, I should hold some resentment toward a lot of the plantation owners and the way their sons used to do, even with my sisters. I talk a little bit about that, and it's broke my heart. There's no justifiable resentment. So I'm just ready to pour back into the religious ministry. And I'm just hoping the outhouse and White House can be a blessing to every human on the planet. I believe it's a message for humankind, not just single moms or people that are looking for excuses. This would be a blessing for humankind. And, man, I just feel that the hand of God is just all over it on every page.
I love it. From the outhouse to the White House, Jimmy Mosley, what a delight to speak with you. And we can tell everybody that you can pick up the book, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever great books are sold. Thanks for joining us.
And thank you for having me. Indeed, an honor.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now.
855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Once again, time for another edition of It's Your Business here on America Tonight. We've got Terry Kohler with us. He's the president and CEO of the Ben Hogan Golf Equipment Company. Everybody knows I'm a big fan of the game of golf. I had the chance to play in the LPGA's exciting day of, I think she can play golf. I know if we put her with a couple of pros, she'll do well. And I think that's the kind of day I had in their pro-am. It was so much fun. And, of course, I was at all the big tournaments in Dallas, and I go beyond that, too. So golf equipment is such an interesting thing because I think it's so personal. It is the it's what you slay the game with, as I like to say. Terry, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a very exciting adventure we're on to resurrect this very vaunted 60-year-old brand that Mr. Hogan built. So it's quite an honor and an obligation, and it's just an exciting thing we're doing.
Yeah, so tell us about that. How did this happen? How did you get involved with the Ben Hogan Company, and, as you say, to really put it on the map again?
Well, my roots with Mr. Hogan go way back to my childhood. My father had played golf with Mr. Hogan before the war, and had a few encounters, I think, and with Mr. Hogan during the war. They were both in the Army Air Corps, and so I grew up with Mr. Hogan's books and his teachings and his philosophies pounded into me by my dad. I started my golf industry career in 1980, and in the mid-90s found myself as director of marketing at Ben Hogan. That was kind of my dream job. But the company had been uprooted from Fort Worth and moved to Virginia, and it just was not the real Ben Hogan Company, and it really fell into some hard times and mismanagement and misappropriation of what the values here that Mr. Hogan had left everybody. And I had gone off down another path and had created a small wedge company out of South Texas. And we had seen where the Ben Hogan brand had been sold to apparel company Perry Ellis. And I had got 100, 120 years of Ben Hogan experience on my team by then and people that worked with Mr. Hogan. And so we all sat around and said, why wouldn't we go resurrect the Ben Hogan brand? So we reached out to Perry Ellis and had a conversation, and that led to extended dialogue. And that led to an agreement for us to be have the worldwide rights to bring the Ben Hogan brand back to the golf equipment industry. And we launched in January, and it has been a whirlwind ride.
So when you launching in January, what do you do to get the word out? I mean, obviously we know marketing, but and you have connections and you've been in the golf industry, but how do you really try to put the seeds out there? Hey, we're back. We're back where we originally started. We're back in Ben's backyard. How do you do that?
Well, you know, this is a business program, right? And so, you know, what we looked at is the first thing we have to do is realize we've got a 60-year-old brand, but we're a startup company, and you know, this with the pains and the growing challenges of, you know, new systems and new structure and new staff, and we've gone from 4 people to over 40 in less than a year, and you know, that takes some settling in time. But we've been very blessed by the golf media, and the business media has covered us very extensively. While we build our infrastructure, and I like to call it the exoskeleton of the field organization and network of stores that stock the product. So we've been very, very blessed by a lot of interest. The Ben Hogan brand is so well known and revered in our industry. We have been kind of one of the big stories of the industry. So as we mature into the coming season, we'll begin to augment that with, you know, more advertising and an enhanced public relations effort. We do a lot of online digital engagement with golfers to take them through a process that we call Hogan Fit, which is a personal bag mapping analysis, and it helps golfers understand what the makeup of their toolbox is, as I like to say. But we have a field organization that's out there telling the story every day to the retail accounts and golf professionals, and very grassroots, very very much blocking and tackling at this early stage of our development.
So as you continue to develop, will you eventually go after or get some golfers to endorse? Because isn't that part of what you do with golf equipment now?
Well, you know, the professional golfer endorsement arena is expensive, and it's changing a lot. What we're learning, we have a lot of tour players have come to us, and, you know, they say, hey, Hogan always had a great reputation. I'd like to try your products. And you know, a lot of golfers can play whatever they want to play. You know, they may have, an endorsement deal on a driver or maybe a golf ball. But a lot of golfers can play whatever kind of wedges and irons they want to play, and we already have some in play. We have a set of Hogan wedges in play at the Solheim Cup this week, and with a golfer who we can't name, but you know, we're starting to make inroads at these highest levels based on product performance, because that's really what it's all about. Our philosophy is build great golf clubs that really do what we say they do, and let them do the talking. And I think eventually next year, the year after, we'll probably have a number of players on the tour playing our golf clubs simply because of the quality. As far as the single endorser, you know, we've got Ben Hogan, and there doesn't come any better endorser than that. And his family, you know, heirs are involved with us, and the Ben Hogan Foundation is involved with us. And so I can't tell you how gratifying it is to have people who knew Mr. Hogan and knew the company write us and tell us that they believe Mr. Hogan would be proud of what we're doing. And that's kind of the ultimate payoff. If we can do work that he would have been proud of, well, then pretty much everything else will take care of itself, we think.
Yeah, you mentioned at the top that your father had played golf with him. What was that like? Because he would have, the round that he played with him, or a couple of rounds, would have been back in the early days. And what an incredible reputation certainly he had as just an amazing guy to get a chance to do a round with.
Well, you know, this was, and my dad passed away when I was young, but I remember the story, and it was before World War II broke out. And so Mr. Hogan had not won his first tournament yet. He was a struggling rabbit out there. And of course, there was not much money on professional golf. You played for, really, it was about testing yourself against the best in the world rather than how much money you could make doing it. But the, The circumstance was my father and my uncle, Dr. Kirkham in Houston, somehow managed to be invited to play an exhibition with Mr. Hogan and another journeyman tour player named Jug McSpadden. And so I grew up with that story and those pictures, and that led my dad to be just an ardent fan of Mr. Hogan's. And apparently they had an encounter after the war, because I grew up with an autographed copy of Mr. Hogan's 1949 book, Power Golf, that he wrote a real nice little missive in the inside cover to my father. And so I don't know the circumstances of that. I guess by the time I realized I really want to know all these stories, my dad had passed. And so a lot of that I'll just never know. But I grew up with all of Mr. Hogan's teachings and the secrets in the dirt. And, you know, if you outwork the best, you'll become the best. And nothing wrong with your game, another 5,000 practice balls won't fix. And that kind of thing.
That's so true. You know, I love that.
And a big part of it, one of my favorite quotes of Mr. Hogan's was, and even God, there's so many of them, but one of my favorites, and my dad pounded this to me and my brother as kids, and that is, hard work never bothered me like it bothers most people. If you outwork the best, you'll become the best. And I think that's a mantra for business. That's a mantra for life. You know, just if hard work scares you, you're in the wrong business, particularly as an entrepreneur.
Boy, is that so well said. We're speaking with Terry Kohler, President and CEO of the Ben Hogan Golf Equipment Company. Do you have a favorite club? Is there a club that you just, ooh, I love this club? I mean, there's so many to pick from. But if I'm asking you to pick one, do you have a favorite?
You know, I guess categorically, no. I like driving the golf ball, and I guess I'm a little cat out of the bag. I'm experimenting with a prototype driver, or something we'll have probably in a year. We're really doing a lot of testing. It's very different, but I just enjoy the game of golf. The challenge of striking a golf ball properly has always been appealing to me. I was always what we call a range rat. I was always on the range hitting golf balls, and I love the feeling of striking a golf ball and seeing it fly the way you pictured. And you know, but I guess I'm fortunate. My least favorite club is probably the putter, because as I get older, it's shakier, more trouble. But you know, I love the feel of a well-struck golf shot. It doesn't matter to me whether it's a driver or a fairway wood or a long iron or middle iron or short iron or, you know, a short wedge shot that you stick close to the hole. I love the challenge of this game. And, you know, it's a very hard game. Your listeners that play golf know that. But from the people we talk to, that's really the number one appeal of this game, is it is hard. Not everybody can master this, and nobody ever gets it to a point, you know, not Tiger Woods, not Jordan Spieth. Nobody has ever gotten to a point where they've really commanded golf. I guess probably Ben Hogan came as close as there ever was to just having complete command of the golf ball for as long as he wanted to, you know, until his health, you know, failed.
Boy, isn't that true. Well, continued success. Good luck with the company. And I think it's really, really cool. I love the story of bringing it back to life, the great Ben Hogan. I've read all those same books, and it's really, really neat. Terry Kay, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it. Let me know if you ever want to come in. We'll talk more golf.
I love it. Thanks, Terry.
Thank you, Kay.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.